Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on Blog Talk Radio and YesNetwork.com. It lives there the rest of the day. Chris Sheeran here with you, and my special guest today is Ricky Doyle from NESN.com. That's the New England Sports Network, by the way. They cover the Red Sox, everything Boston, and they're pretty much going at it right now with the Bruins in the Eastern Conference Finals of the NHL season, and now the Red Sox. You know, who'd have thunk it, Ricky? After a 69-win year last year, at the quarter pole of the season, actually past the quarter pole of the season, these standings are pretty much the inverted standings that everybody thought there would be out there in the AL East, with the Red Sox and Yankees 1-2 once again. Sox at 32-22, 10 games over. The Yankees, you know, they're having some struggles right now against the Mets, but they're still 8 games over 500, just a game behind the Red Sox. Let me just ask you flat out as we start this, are the Red Sox fact or fiction this year, Ricky?
All right, well, first of all, I just want to give my condolences to the Rangers fans that might be listening. You mentioned the Bruins, so
well,
I don't
thank you. We appreciate
to pop that in there. But now going
and,
on
and
to
Tortorella
the...
And Tortorella being fired, too, you know.
Yeah,
you guys,
yeah.
You not only knocked our team out of the playoffs, but you also got our coach canned, so thank you for that.
Yeah, well, I figured I'd get that out of the way early. in regards to the Red Sox, though, I mean, I think, you know, we kind of talked about this before we came on the air, that it's, you know, it's always a thing with the AL East. The more things change, the more they seem to stay the same. And, I mean,
absolutely,
that's holding true this year with these two teams battling. I think that, you know, when you look around the division, I think each team has its flaws. And, I mean, we were kind of going over them. You know, you got the Rays that they're, you know, offensively inept at times. And then the Yankees that comes down to pitching. And you know, kind of the same case with the Orioles and the fact that they're starting rotation. Even the bullpen has struggled a little bit this year. And then Toronto, I mean,
right,
it pretty much has been a train wreck since day one. Now, the
mm-hmm.
Red Sox, they've had some periods of inconsistency, but I think that, you know, I think they're the most balanced team in the division right now. And then I also look at the top of that rotation in Lester and Buchholz. And if they're able to pitch, you know, the way they've pitched this, you know, throughout the early part of the season, I think that this is a team that's going to be able to contend down the stretch, too. You know, am I ready to label them maybe a World Series contender? I don't know. I, you know, still got to see a little bit more. It's still early in the season. But, you know, I do think that they're going to be there in the thick of things at the very end.
Ricky, how much different is this clubhouse this year? And I know it's vastly different than it was under Bobby Valentine, under John Farrell. And how much of this turnaround this season is due to the presence of Farrell being back in a Red Sox uniform?
You know what? It's really night and day. I mean, I'm around the team a lot more this season. I wasn't, you know, around in the clubhouse as much and everything last year. But even just the few times I was there last year, it is just a huge difference going in this year. It seems like there's, you know, just more structure, I guess, and just it seems that, you know, John Farrell actually has a game plan and a rhyme or reason to his decision making, whereas Bobby Valentine at times it was kind of it was a little hairy at times. You weren't sure exactly what you were getting into. But I think that has a lot to do with this turnaround, because they went out and they brought in guys that, you know, kind of fit this mold, you know, high character guys, but also guys that fit into this, you know, this offensive approach and you know, that they're trying to build with, you know, patient hitters and everything. It was just a combination of things that went into it, and one of them was high character. And certainly, I mean, just walking into the clubhouse from last year compared to this year is just a huge difference. And, you know, you're still going to have talent. You can have all the chemistry in the world. I mean, we were talking about Joe Maddon bringing in his salsa bands and everything, and
that's all fine
and good. But at some point, you got to have the talent, and I think that's, you know, why the Red Sox are excelling this season, is because they kind of have that balance of the talent and high character.
Yeah, you know, back in 2008 through 2010, Farrell was the pitching coach for the Red Sox, and Clay Buchholz, you know, it from year to year, he got better and better. But then when Farrell left in 2011 to the Blue Jays, and also in 2012 when he was there last year, no Farrell, that ERA started to creep up again. But now that Farrell is back in the fold, I don't think it's any surprise that Buchholz is 7-0 with an ERA of 1.73 to start the season. I mean, when you have a guy that knows this guy inside and out, and he treats him the way he treated him when he was nurturing him back at the beginning of his career, how much of a difference, you know, does it make to have Farrell back with this pitching staff, with guys like Lester and guys like Buchholz that basically grew up with Farrell there as the pitching coach? That has to be a huge that has to be huge for the Red Sox as well.
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think it's maybe even bigger on Lester, because we saw how, you know, how bad he struggled
really
at times last season. Whereas Buchholz, you know, he did struggle. He had his struggles last season, but he pitched very well down the stretch. So this is kind of a, you know, a carryover effect almost from last year. But I think that, you know, undoubtedly that Farrell's had a huge impact on kind of bringing them to the next level. And Lester was just, you know, last season his mechanics were basically, you know, just a wreck, and they were trying to get it back to where it was pre-2012. And I think that, you know, Farrell kind of came in and he had a, you know, familiarity with these guys, which certainly helped in just getting them on the same page from day one. And then, you know, I think there was just an overall comfort level between a lot of these guys and Farrell, which, I mean, again, you know, he's still going to have the talent there, but it certainly helps, particularly when you're talking about pitchers that had just, you know, last season was just, you need pitching to win, and that's just what did the Sox in at the end of the day, because it seemed like every stop they were going out there was, you know, trouble after 2-3 innings, and then the bullpen gets taxed, and it's just a huge snowball effect. But certainly this season, when you get Farrell, you know, I also like how they went out and they hired Farrell early in the offseason, kind of, you know, get this offseason, take care of that before you get the rest of the offseason going. And then, you know, it gave them a lot of time to work on getting back to, you know, where they were mechanically pre-2012, and certainly seeing the effects so far.
Yeah, you're absolutely seeing the effects. We're talking to Ricky Doyle of Nesson.com, the New England Sports Network, of course, and as soon as he comes on the program, he throws a dig in about the New York Rangers getting bounced by his Boston Bruins,
no,
and now we're talking
about...
let's be honest here. It was a shot, and it's fine. It's fine, because the Rangers deserved it. They were completely outplayed by the Bruins, but we're here to talk about the Red Sox and Yankees this weekend. And, you know, Ricky, the pitching matchups this weekend, the first one should be a dandy. Now, listen, C.C. Sabathia hasn't been C.C. Sabathia this year, okay? But over his first 10 starts, 11 starts of the season since he's donned the pinstripes, hasn't really been that impressive. It's been the next 10 starts where he's really put it together. He's just a slow starter, and even though he hasn't had his good stuff this year, he's kept this offense in the game long enough so it could come back and possibly get back into the game. Now, over these last 8 games, the Yankees have lost 6. They're 2-6 over their last 8, so the lineup is getting exposed a little bit for the injuries that have happened to this team over the year. Red Sox haven't had to deal with the amount of injuries the Yankees have. Heck, I don't know if anybody in the major leagues have had to deal with as many injuries as the Yankees have at the beginning of this season. But these pitching matchups over the weekend, besides DuPont and Hughes maybe, and Dempster going up against Carota, you know, it should show where both of these teams really are right now. I tend to think that the Yankees are pretty much fact this year, especially when they start getting their offensive guys back. I think the Red Sox are fact as well, because basically when it boils down to it, Ricky, it's about pitching. We talked about this before we went on the air, and both teams are getting decent pitching right now. You get Andy Pettitte back in the flow next week for the Yankees as well, so they'll have their rotation pretty much back in full force, and their bullpen has been tremendous. And the Red Sox, they're pretty much mirror images, but right now you'd have to give the edge to that Red Sox lineup. Youkilis and Teixeira should be coming back for the Yankees on Friday, I saw, after their brief rehab stint in Trenton. So this could be shaping up for a pretty good series over the weekend between the Red Sox and Yankees. They haven't met since the beginning weekend, and, you know, I'm shocked. I have to tell you, I'm shocked that they're 1-2 in the AL East right now, just as everybody else is shocked. But this weekend should be a great weekend of baseball between these two rivals, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And you mentioned the pitching matchups, and I think that's going to be, you know, kicking off with a bang right out of the chute. A couple of, you know, ace left-handers going at it. And then even, you know, Clay Buchholz, is, you know, we talked about him a little bit, and he's battling a little bit of a collarbone issue right now, and he actually was...
That AC joint, right.
Yeah, so, you know, Franklin Morales is going to get the start tonight, and then Lester will kick off the series on Friday. But, you know, Dempster's penciled in for Sunday right now, but... Yeah, that's kind of up in the air. It could end up being Buchholz sliding into that, which would be a nice little way to cap it off. Carota Buchholz matchup as well, and
Buchholz Carota would be absolutely better than Dempster Carota.
Yeah, that'd be a nice little way to round off the weekend. And this is This is actually – it's a pretty important stretch for the Red Sox overall. I mean, even beyond this series, they're, you know, they're bringing in Texas and the Angels next week, and last time they faced the Rangers, it was just – you know, it was kind of a very anticipated series going in, and then they go into Arlington and they just, you know, got the floor mopped at them. And then, you know, obviously the Angels are a team that has struggled a little bit, but a lot of talent there. And then you got the Rays and the O's. So it's an important stretch of the Red Sox right now. I mean, all these divisional games are important. So, you know, that was kind of – it was key for the Red Sox to get off to a good start against the division early this season because that kind of saved them when they have hit their moments of inconsistency. But this is This is going to be the first. It's going to be a good test for both teams.
Yeah, one of those moments of inconsistency hit like a ton of bricks, and that was that stretch at the beginning of May that we talked about earlier. That 11-game stretch where they lost 9 of 11, and again, it's just like the Yankees losing 6 of their last 8 and 3 straight. Against the Mets, who basically for a time at the beginning of the season couldn't beat a little league team for that matter. So it's a little bit, you know, head-scratching right now. It's not like the Yankees aren't getting good pitching. You know, those first two games of the series were 2-1 Met victories. And the second one over at Citi Field, they beat Mariano Rivera. That was the first save he blew this year, and it was, you know, that's under the magnifying glass, unfortunately, when you do it at Citi Field against the Mets. But I think Mo will be
doing
fine.
Yeah, get out of the way early, though, right?
Yeah. But that 11-game stretch where I'm getting to with the Red Sox, was there any panic there? You know, they got off to the great start. They were in first place. That was the time the Yankees were able to overtake them for first in the AL East. Was there any panic up there in the Boston area that, oh, boy, here we go again? Was there any of that kind of thought process going on up there, Ricky?
Well, first, it's funny that you mentioned the Yankees sputtering against the Mets and, you know, because the Red Sox, when they've had their moments of inconsistency, it seemed to have come against some teams that, you know, weren't all that impressive at the time. I mean, right now they've dropped 2 in a row to Philadelphia, and then a couple weeks ago they had a hiccup against Minnesota and then the White Sox. So it's certainly some teams that you wouldn't exactly expect the Red Sox to maybe, you know, when they're going to have their struggles, have them against those teams. But
you know what, that's baseball, though. That's something
that
fans definitely in Boston and definitely in New York, they don't really gather. They understand the fact that during a 162-game season, there's going to be ebbs and flows. One of the things that a lot of people forget is that these guys are human. And, you know, one of the factors that any sabermetric, which I'm not a big fan of, I get it, but I'm not a big sabermetric stat guy. You know, something that you can't quantify with sabermetrics, you know, what if Dustin Pedroia gets up one day and his hamstring is kind of bothering him, but he doesn't tell anybody, and he makes an error, and he doesn't tell anybody, and he goes 0 for 4, 0 for 5. These are things you can't quantify, and you know a guy like Dustin Pedroia, and I've said this all the time, and this is as a Yankee fan, by the way, Pedroia and Youkilis could play on my team anytime. Now, I know we have Cano, and that's not a knock on Robinson Cano, but the way these guys approach the game of baseball is the way that I want a guy who plays for me approaches the game. And it's just something that you can't quantify. If a guy comes out and doesn't tell you that he's sore somewhere, he's hurt somewhere, they're going to play. They're gamers. And that's what some people just can't come to grasp. And during these long seasons, you're going to have parts of the season where the Yankees lose 6 of 8, where the Red Sox lose 9 of 11. But the testament to a good team, the backbone of a good team, is how you bounce back. And the Sox have done that. They've retaken first place. The Yankees, even though they've lost 3 straight to the Mets, they should send a thank you card to Jonathan Papelbon and the Phillies for keeping them, you know, right around a game out in the AL East. But don't you think that's something that fans really have to get a grasp on, is that, you know, during these seasons, you're going to have stuff like this. You just hope it doesn't, you know, it's not prolonged and they could stop it, and both teams, well, the Red Sox have, you hope the Yankees can do the same thing as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny that you mentioned Pedroia too, because I mean, we've actually seen that. I mean, he injured his thumb apparently on the, you know, the opening weekend of the season. And then hasn't really, you know, mentioned anything about it. You know, there was some rumblings about it and whatnot, and then a report comes out this week that he's basically been playing with a torn ligament in his thumb and playing through it, and, you know, the guy's hitting .330, so it's...
That's what I'm talking about.
There are things that you just don't know. These guys are going to keep it under wraps, and, you know, Pedroia is as much as anyone's going to try and play through those types of things. And so, yeah, it's there is a, just a... a huge portion of baseball is things that you can't quantify, which you're right. I'm on the same boat with you when it comes to saber metrics. I think it holds value to a certain point, but there are some things that
I think there are a lot of positives to, you know, all the number crunching and everything. All you got to do is look at the Oakland A's, because that's how they build their team, and they've had success.
Yeah.
Not every season, but they've had success, so it does work. I cannot completely, totally poo-poo it. No one can, but I just think, you know, human beings can't always be, you know, their actions always can't be looked at by numbers. You know, you could have a pitcher who goes, look at Buchholz this year. He's 7-0 with a 1.73. Look at him last year. His ERA was near 4.5 or over 4.5. You just don't know. So what are sabermetrics going into this season? Were they going to predict Buchholz was going to go 7-0 and start the season like this? I'm sorry. But any amount of numbers that you saw from Buchholz over the past 3 years, after or 2 years after John Farrell left the team, nothing would point to the start that he had. Now, if you're the Toronto Blue Jays, you say that he's doctoring up the ball. He's Eddie Harris. He's got Bard oil. He's got, you know, he's got snot. He's got whatever on the ball. That's something that a team like the Blue Jays, who's struggling, I think just comes up with, because that kind of just fizzled out. And, you know, I don't see how you could make those accusations unless you have some pretty solid proof. And if all you have to go on is Buchholz is sweating profusely on his arms, it's kind of a weak case. But let me ask you this. I'm venting here about the Blue Jays, because, you know, the paper champions are seven games under 500, 8.5 games back, and I don't want to hear about the injury to Reyes, okay? The New York Yankees have had 10, 12 injuries this year, and they went into the season with a ton of injuries, and they just mounted up over the first 2 months of the season. So if you're going to sit here and complain to me about Reyes and how your table isn't getting set, I don't want to hear it. You know, you're supposed to have this super team with everybody from the Marlins that came over. And by the way, we all know how that went last year down in Miami. And we all know what's going on in Miami this year. So I don't want to hear about the huge trade that the Blue Jays made. You also had two guys in Josh Johnson and R.A. Dickey coming from the National League East and coming to the American League East. That's a big jump. Unless you're Hiroki Kuroda and you've been able to do what you've done since you've been here with the Yankees, I don't want, you know, most of the time when you come from the NL to the AL, that ERA, you know, gets the tire pump and it goes right in there and it starts going up, up, up. So I'm just venting here a little bit on the Blue Jays.
No, hey, preach on.
Yeah, let me dial it back a little bit. let me just ask
just
you
coming
this.
From a guy that picked the Blue Jays at the beginning of the season, so anything you say, I'm right on board with you.
Well, how can you not? I mean, on paper, they were stacked. When you bring in a guy like Dickey, when you have a guy like Josh Johnson, when at the time when Ricky Romero was going to be your five, I mean, that's a pretty impressive rotation. There's nothing else you could say, but it has to come together on the field. Listen, I know the Yankees have had years where they've had all-stars at every position. 2004 was one of those years, okay, when they lost to the Red Sox, when the Red Sox won the four games in a row in the ALCS. You pretty much have an all-star at every position. You don't need it. And the thing I bring up all the time, Ricky, and I'll see if – and you could probably do it. You're a baseball guy. You know this. But – I ask most of my close friends who are casual baseball fans, I say, hey, can you name me four San Francisco Giants from their lineup from last year or from 2010? They can't do it.
Yeah.
They can't do it. You know why? Because Angel Pagan was a bum on the Mets. A bum. You couldn't get him out of New York fast enough. Listen to Sports Talk Radio. You got to get rid of Pagan. You can't play center. How's he doing in San Francisco? How's that working out?
It is amazing what a change of scenery can do sometimes.
Not only that, but it's a pitching staff, okay? You go out there, you have a pitching staff. And it, you know, listen, it didn't hurt that Barry Zito turned his life around, you know, last year when he had one of his best seasons. Well, no, his best season as a Giant. Because when he signed that deal coming over from the A's, he was garbage. He was hot garbage. And last year he was one of the key cogs in that turnaround and that World Series championship. But I don't want to get too far off the beaten path here, but I want to ask you, you know, this is your first year covering the Red Sox completely, you know, just the Red Sox, your second year with Nesson. What have you seen? What is the biggest thing, besides the record, besides being in first place, Ricky? We're talking to Ricky Doyle from Nesson.com, our Yes Network counterpart up there in Boston. And, Ricky, what is the biggest surprise? And I don't want you to pick Buchholz because we've talked about that. Besides Buchholz and Lester, that 1-2 punch. I mean, Lackey's been good, too, with the ERA. But for you, what's been the biggest surprise other than the pitching staff for the Red Sox this season?
You know, it's a little out there, but I'm going to say Daniel Naver. I don't know how close, you know, you guys have been keeping tabs on him, but he is just, he's kind of one of the more underrated stories in baseball, I think. I mean, this is a guy that was just, you know, kicking around in an independent league and was, you know, kind of, his career was just in shambles. I mean, he admits that he even considered retiring twice, and he's
wow.
come on, and he's been a key cog in the outfield for the Red Sox this season. I mean, especially with, you know, Shane Victorino's been banged up with a few different ailments currently on the DL. And,
right.
You know, Johnny Gomes has had his struggles, and he's, you know, I kind of viewed him as more of a platoon player, a guy that can come in and, you know, do his damage against left-hand pitching. And Naver is just, I mean, this is a guy that was actually taken off the major league side of the media guide last season. I mean, he was pretty much relegated to the minors. And then he's coming on, and he's got an on-base percentage around 400. So he's just, you know, he's a guy that right now he's been able to bounce around the lineup, you know, hit out of the tool hole, get on base, set the stage for guys like Pedroia and Ortiz and Napoli. And then, you know, they've moved him down in the sixth spot, and he's been able to provide some pop down there. So, I'd have to say that he's probably the most surprising guy on the Red Sox right now, in addition to, obviously, you know, like you said, a guy like Buchholz coming out 7-0.
See, this is another reason why I love the job that I have right now, because as a fan, you know, before you get into the media, as a fan, you just basically hate the other team and you hate all the players. But you hear stories like that, like Nava, and the respect you have to have for the guys, especially in the game of baseball, because let's face it, Ricky, the top 1% of these guys are the ones that make the major leagues, and you have to go through all the minor leagues to get here, unless you're, you know, a guy like Matt Harvey, unless you're a guy like Steven Strasburg, you're not toiling away at single A for 3 years, you know.
Yeah.
There are some guys, and you bring up Nava, he was taken off the major league side of the media guide last year. I mean, guys, think about that. You know, that's a slap in the face. And to go back down there and do the work and get back up here and to be a surprise to you this season, I mean, that speaks volumes to me. And the respect that – and I didn't know that, and I'll be honest. So the respect that I just gained for that kid and doing what he did to get back to where he is and being a surprise this year, hey, good for him. Nothing but the best wishes for him. Listen, there are still players you hate in the rivalry, let's be honest. You know, and a lot of the old school guys like myself, you know, we show up or we watch the, you know, BP, and we see these guys and they're hugging and they're shaking hands and they're patting each other on the fanny, and you're like, really? Can the rivalry come out? Talk to these guys? You know, I mean, I don't know how you feel about that. It'd be interesting to see how you felt about that. But I'm going to be 40 this year, so I go back a ways. I go back to the late 70s, early 80s when the Yankees really stunk. But that's back when, you know, there were near fist fights, and I'm not just talking about between the Red Sox and Yankees, but other teams. I mean, these teams hated each other. How do you feel about that, Ricky?
Yeah, you know, you do want to see a little bit of it, you know what I mean? The hatred doesn't have to be overboard, but I think that you want to feel
like,
you know,
I like the mutual respect, and I don't want people throwing the ball at each other, but I mean,
yeah, no, but
know.
I agree that you want to see, you know, a certain level of, you know, I guess it's just a competitive nature, and I mean maybe it comes when the games start getting, you know, when we start getting into September and October, you know, obviously that gets heightened up a little bit. But yeah, I want to see a little bit of fire. I mean, even this series that was at Fenway Park with the Phillies in town, and there's kind of a lot made of Papelbon getting booed. But I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, well, you know what? You understand he had his highlights there. He contributed greatly to, you know, World Series in 2007. But you got to turn the page, you know. And this is a guy who's coming in to try and close out the game on your home turf. So, yeah, boo away.
He's got a P
on
his hat. He's
got to have a little bit of it.
He's got a P on his hat. It's not a B. You don't have
exactly
to cheer a guy.
No.
You know
I mean? There's time to get nostalgic and whatnot, but, I mean, him coming into a 3-1 game when you got the middle of your order coming up. That's not it.
Yeah, what the hell are you going to cheer Jonathan Papelbon? Yeah, that makes no sense. That makes absolutely no sense. For Red Sox fans who paid good money to be at that game, when he's running out into the field to shut down the middle of your order, you're not cheering him on. You're not.
Not
that's stupid. But anyway, Ricky Doyle, hey, listen, I really appreciate the time today. We're winding down here on the podcast. A good 25 minutes. This was great. We're going to have you back on, for real. I really hope you enjoyed being on the podcast today. We'll have you on later. We'll have you as our Red Sox expert. And, you know, if you need me for anything, don't hesitate, because I am a walking Yankee encyclopedia, especially with the stuff that's going on this year. It's hard for me not to be completely immersed in what's going on with the pinstripe. So I hope we could help each other out, and I'd love to have you on at another point during the season so we could rap about our teams once again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully we can do a playoff version of it this year, too. We'll see.
I will sign for that right now. Sign for it right now if that happens. Ricky Doyle, thanks a lot, brother. I appreciate you coming out. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, anytime.
All right. That's Ricky Doyle here on the Off the Wall podcast. We're going to wrap it up right there. Our coverage of the Yankees and Mets as they get ready to end up the Subway Series tonight begins on, at 6 o'clock with Yankees batting practice today. Nancy Newman will have you covered there. And then Bob Lorenz, John Flaherty, Jack Curry, Meredith Marakovic come your way for the pregame show at 6:30. First pitch at 7 o'clock on from Yankee Stadium comes your way with Michael Kay, Al Leiter, and David Cohn behind the mics. For all of us here at YesNetwork.com, I am Chris Sheeran. This is the Off the Wall podcast, and in the words of the great band, rap group, A Tribe Called Quest, to loot is to maraud. To maraud means to loot. In this case, we loot for ears on the Off the Wall podcast. We'll see you next time, everybody. Have a great day.